Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep. There was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In the building, we gon' rock the house from the floor to the ceiling. We building, they crumbling. 2013 in a new world coming. Only do this cause I'm trying to touch a million. Singing these songs got the whole world reeling. While they chilling, we warming. We spark the movement while y'all so boring. Yeah, and we do this for the little ones, so they know they can shine when they see the sun. And there's no time for giving up, so just know that it's already done. From Shanghai to Chi-Town, we show love as soon as we touch down. We take this higher, feel the atmosphere when we burn that fire.
My life, my life, my life, my life, my life.
Sitting on the top of the charts and the world like a poster. Yeah, just that new stuff rose from the gutter. This sound waking people up like a rooster. Or the Buddha, call me the ruler. This ain't the ordinary vibe that you used to. We getting it, and y'all bumming. 2013 and a new world dawning. Yeah, got the whole world feeling this. Don't try to front like you ain't gon' get to this. Around on my head like a turban. Don't be mad, cause I'm fresh like a virgin. Walk like a king with the heart of a servant.
My life, my life, my life, my life, my life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Life Conversations, We dare you to live your best life.
I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you wherever you may be in the world at this very moment, be it listening live or listening on the archive. We welcome you to Life Conversations Radio on this very special day. Just time for Ancestral Blueprint with Ade Anifowoshe and Lisa Iverson. How was your weekend, Lisa?
It was good. It was good. And I'm happy for our conversation today.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was just sharing, I don't know which part of the conversation you heard, but I was sharing that today I've spent most part of the day decluttering, getting rid of stuff. You know, it's just junk masquerading as useful information. You know, do you know anything about that?
Well, of course. Of course. I can't imagine anybody who doesn't.
That's how we have so many storage companies that are making money out of keeping our junk.
Exactly.
So, after the show, I'm going to go back and continue that wonderful practice in the presence of decluttering. Okay, let's get started. Let's get going. I don't know what's going on, so I just trust the process and let it happen. Yes, Ancestral Blueprints. And today, you know, we're talking about the impact of losing a baby. You know, what that feels like. How does that show up in our lives? I mean, it is something that's very traumatic. I mean, you can't even say it's traumatic for a lot of people. It's traumatic, period. I've never met anybody who's lost a child or abortion where you don't hear them refer to it, talk about it, and they tell you how they never get over it. And Lisa says, the systematic family constellation approach reveals that the grief and difficult truths over baby losses, miscarriages, babies who live only a short time, abortion, can influence life for generations. So, okay, I'm talking about it's traumatic for somebody, but Lisa, what you're saying from a family constellation's ancestral blueprints perspective, it can actually influence the ancestral blueprints from generation to generation? Is that
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, what does that look like? How does it show up?
Well, I think the first thing to say before answering that question about how it shows up is just to acknowledge the tenderness of the topic. You know, it's there is really, you know, some might say no more difficult of a loss than for a person to lose a child. It's important, I guess I want to say throughout our conversation, to recognize the differences that there are from loss to loss. A miscarriage is different from an abortion, is different from a stillbirth, is different from a baby that lives for a short while. That all of these losses are unique. What they have in common is that in the person's family soul, each of those baby losses have their own place of belonging. So the really important thing for us as a human family to really begin to realize more is that nobody can take the place of a little being that has existed even for a short while. So even for a miscarriage, for example, you know, we have our cultural ways of dealing with grief. A real common way that we have in the States used to make sense out of that loss is, you know, this idea that, oh, you can have another one and the next baby will kind of make up for the loss of the one that wasn't able to be born. Well, in the work that I do with the constellation approach, it's very, very clear that each little being, each little even spirit being that doesn't have the chance to grow into a full person has their own place of belonging. The impact over generations of not recognizing each one's place of belonging is often really a lot of confusion about life and death. You know, and that shows up in a variety of ways. I'll give an example. Say a man and a woman come together. Say it's a grandparent couple generation, and their first pregnancy ends up being a miscarriage. And then they have a child afterwards. Well, often what happens is that the grief over a miscarriage becomes somehow invisible, becomes somehow kind of buried in the person's heart, buried in the relationship.
Yes.
You know? And so the child who's born after a miscarriage, even if in their minds they don't know the facts of what happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the soul, there's a felt connection. There's a felt sense of connection with that we all have with all the children, the ones who were born and the ones who weren't born, with the ones in our generation and the ones who came before us. So for that grandparent couple, then the one who's born after, there might be this invisible, irrational pull toward invisibility of some kind.
What do you mean by that?
That it's hard to maybe show up fully in life. That it's hard to fully show up in life, and maybe there's a pull toward, again, this happens at the soul level, not in the conscious mind awareness, you know, where there's a pull to maybe try to take care of the mother or the father's grief. You know, which holds the person back from living fully in their own skin, in their own life, in their own fate.
Whew.
So there can be this kind of patterning, you know, that develops around that, coping that develops around that. And, you know, the reality is miscarriages are really common. They're really, really common. And what I see is that it's an example of a loss that just in American culture, we generally in American culture don't do with loss very well.
Mm, yes.
You know, we're not a culture that's known for being able to, you know, recognize the need to grieve. We don't have the kind of ceremony rituals that are culturally embraced, you know, to help us deal with different kinds of losses.
Oof, I don't know what happened to me. I'm just like listening to you and following along, and I'm feeling all this grieving moving up inside of it. Like, whoa, okay, snap out of it quick. Well, okay, so, geez. Okay, yes, if you have any questions or comments, feel free. We'll be opening the phone line soon, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. We have some silent listeners in the chat room. Feel free to register so you can interact and communicate with us. Or if you want to just be a silent listener and keep listening, that's fine. However, if you don't want to register but you want to share something, the number, once again, is 347-426-3346. We have Sudden Gold, username Sudden Gold, in the chat room. She says she had such a loss. I guess she lost one of her child. I don't know one or how many, but she's just listening right now. When you were talking, Lisa, one of the things I thought of is the impact of losing a child or children. Is it more traumatic if it wasn't talked about, or is it the same even if it was talked about? Does it make any difference?
Yeah, I think each situation is unique. thing about the not talking about it often reflects that there's a stuckness of some kind. You know, that there's something stuck around the grief.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And when you talk about the invisible, because I know I've met people who said, you know, I feel like I can do so much more. I feel with my family, I don't feel like they're acknowledging me. You know, sometimes I feel like I could be doing a lot more than what I'm doing right now. Is that, you know, because one of the things they talk about is I have a gift, but sometimes I feel like I've got a handle on it. Is that the kind of thing that show up when you say they could be feel invisible, not really show up in their true self, or in the, just show up, period?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, sometimes a person is having a life experience just as you described, and what's happening in the really unconscious place in their life, in their family's soul, is something like that, where the person is out of a deep unconscious love, they're in connection with a miscarriage or with a baby loss of some kind.
Right.
And where that, so what helps to shift that is bringing compassionate conscious awareness to that connection. Because the deal is we just are in connection with the blueprint of our family. Even, you know, the people and the circumstances that we haven't been told about or that we don't know in our minds. Just because we don't know the facts doesn't mean we're not in resonance.
Right. And when we talk about in this society in America where, you know, we don't do grief very well, we don't want to talk about death. We, you know, people eat chicken all day, they eat beef, they eat pork, they just throw down. But very few people live in America, they actually assume one being killed. And if they do, oh, that's so horrible. I mean, I'm not talking about animals, but the whole thing about how we deal with death and loss, it's almost like that a part of life we wish you can just press the delete key and delete that we don't have to go through it. And living in a society like that, how does that affect, influence, affect a family that's going through that? Does it make the experience more challenging because they are part of that blueprint as well?
I think so. Yeah. We tend to think of, you know, ceremony. You know, ceremony is, I just use that term generally, ceremony and ritual. Those are particularly helpful for helping us deal with the things in life that touch us in the place that lives without language. And that's really, you know, when there is this kind of a loss that has to do with life, new life, early life that doesn't live long, that's really a place where ritual ceremony can be so helpful, but our culture tends to be, at least so far, much more in the concrete world. We tend to value what we can touch, feel, see, this kind of a thing. And and when I also speak about ceremony and ritual, you know, these exist too beyond particular religious expression. The constellation approach, for people who don't know what that is, it's a mostly group-centered approach that really helps us see how much we are in connection with our family and how much these hidden kinds of losses might be affecting us. And there's a very strong, there can be a very strong ceremonial ritual kind of element to the to this healing work. I've just seen it over and over again, how it can help people bring into light what hasn't, what's been there all along, but's been waiting to be seen.
You're listening to Life Conversations Radio, and it's Ancestral Blueprint time. We're talking about the impact of losing a child, a baby, well, particularly a baby, and the impact that it has on the Ancestral Blueprint. If you have any questions or comments, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346, and please press 1 on your keypad so we know to come to you. When we talk about ancestral blueprints, and there are people who remembered, who knew that, you know, a child was born before them, or there was somebody before them, and their parents kind of mentioned it, and they somehow on a soul level feel that that's affecting their life. And, you know, they could just feel something is not quite right, because having been part of the circle, I know sometimes you can't put into words what you're feeling was gone, and you just feel like something is missing. How can Ancestral Blueprint Family Constellation actually help them?
Yeah, it can help people really see where they belong in the bigger picture of their family and of their life. So, for example, say there is a family, a man and a woman have a child, and the child lives maybe a year, and the child dies as a toddler, and then they have three more children after this. Well, in the soul, it's really clear that there are four children. But what often happens is that out of the grief of the loss, there's a way that the family might live and talk as if it's a family of three children. Well, there is only one firstborn. There's only one secondborn. There's only one third and fourth, you know. And it's very different to live life as the second of four than the first of three.
So you're saying even if the firstborn died at birth or lived for a year, the second child would still, even if they know about it, there's going to be, what's the best word? Not competition, but feeling out of place, or really they would know that they're not the firstborn, even though the real one is not alive. Right? Do you know what I'm trying to ask you?
What's common is for... In that kind of a situation, what's common is that set for the one who lives, the first one who lives, so really the second of four, is for there to be a feeling of never measuring up.
Mm.
They can never take the place of that first one.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, in their life, they might feel as if they're always falling short somehow. Where they're having to work hard all the time.
Wow. That's just a bummer. That's just like coming to life with drama already, boy. Ooh, woo.
And so that is an example that, you know, the constellation approach very, very quickly helps to bring that kind of a dynamic that's happening in a person's life into consciousness. It very quickly and compassionately helps people see, oh, that's what I've been being influenced by.
Mm-hmm.
And so it and it helps people see their place more fully in life. You know, whether it's a baby loss or some other kind of a loss that involves people dying, you know, where there's grief, there's often, it often leaves people with some confusion about, do I belong fully in life or do I belong in death? that leads to some confusion about feeling free to live fully.
Right.
And so the constellation work helps people to really see that as well. Oh, I've been living in this kind of half-alive, half-dead kind of existence, and I wasn't even really seeing that that's what it was.
Oof. Wow. For those of you listening on the phone line, if you have a question or comment, press 1 on your keypad. That lets us know you've got a question or comment. If not, we'll just assume that you're listening. 937, let me know if you're listening or you've got a question or comment. So is it the same thing for, does it matter if the child died at birth or there was abortion or there was actually a miscarriage? Does it matter? Does it still have the same kind of effect?
Yeah, it matters quite a lot. It matters. The thing that they each have in common is, mm-hmm. again, this idea that they each have a place.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say, because I just can tell I need to say it, you know, I feel nervous talking about abortion scenarios because our country, I think, the state has done, we are doing a poor job of really recognizing of recognizing how deeply affecting the abortion experience is. It doesn't belong in the political arena. Talking about
okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, it doesn't belong in the political arena. And so I'm not saying that as having a position of any kind from any part of the spectrum.
Right.
What, you know, in terms of family blueprints, in terms of the constellation approach, what I see is that many, many times it becomes apparent in that approach that a person has had some experience with abortion and that's part of what's influencing the difficulty in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the approach helps to, with compassion, bring the picture into visibility.
Mm. Whew. Okay, I think I'm going to take a break on that note. It's kind of heavy. But when we come back, you take a quick break. Just want to acknowledge the listeners in the chat room. Espiritus, is that the same thing? Is that the Greek word for spirit? Correct me. 72 child, Southern Gold. And we have a silent listener. We've got listeners on the switchboard as well listening. The number is 347. 426-3346, 347-426-3346, yeah, that's the number. And press 1 on your keypad if you have any questions or comments. Listen, when we come back, I have two questions, but one of it just evaporated out of my head. That's it. The first question, two questions. Well, actually, I don't know. Anyway, just ask a question. Come on, get to the point. The question I wanted to ask is, you know, we sort of talked about the firstborn. What happens if the miscarriage or the abortion or the child dies and they're like the third one? How does that show up in the life of the rest of the siblings? So when we come back, let's talk about that. And, you know, I would like to talk about some, quote-unquote, case studies, maybe people who have been in that situation that came to the family constellations and how we actually change a life. All right?
Okay, sounds good.
Yes, you listen to Ancestral Blueprints. And, we'll be right back right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
If you think depression is all in a person from it, feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at safe.org. Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship. It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. And thank you for being here. The Manifestation, Southern Gold, 17th Soul Child, Silent Listener, Guest 2169, Espiritus, who said it is Spanish as well for spirit. Okay, I'm learning some lessons here. And we are talking ancestral blueprints, the impact. We're acknowledging the loss in ancestral blueprints. Just before the break, trust me, you can hear me, Lisa. Are you there, right?
Yep, I'm right here, thanks.
Okay, good. Just checking. All kinds of stuff is going on tonight. Before the break, I was asking you, how does it show up, really, the impact of losing, if it's maybe the second born or the third born, because we were talking about the first one. How does it show up if a child is in the middle?
Well, you know, just generally, the other siblings, mm-hmm. they feel the place of the one who is missing. You know, sometimes what happens is maybe for the children born on either side of the one who didn't live, there might be some kind of a relationship, a feeling of a relationship separation between them.
Wow.
You know, in their sibling relationship, it affects that. Right. They feel disconnected from each other because the unacknowledged loss of the one between them.
Right.
This kind of a thing. So the impact shows up in different ways. That's a common experience, and it generally creates confusion. There's a confusion that results about where people belong, and what the soul asks for is simply for acknowledgement, compassionate acknowledgement of each person through life and death. Their place of belonging.
So when you say acknowledgement, if someone's listening to the show and saying, well, this is my story, and I see my children, you know, go through this sense of confusion, or my siblings, we sometimes there's a confusion, who is the third or fourth. How do you acknowledge that? How do you what do you do? Do you just keep talking about it, saying, do you include the child that was died, the brother, the sister that died as part of this family? I mean, how do we go about it on a practical level?
You know, on a practical level, there's a few things that come to mind. The constellation work, the experience of the constellation work is a practical thing that people can do. We can tell people at the end of the show how to, you know, learn more about how to experience that. But what we're doing right now is a part of it, you know, bringing this into consciousness, taking, you know, most of us, what we do in our lives with loss is, and again, our cultural context teaches us how to cope.
Right.
Rather than how to experience. and how to acknowledge. So simply bringing into consciousness that this has been a part of our own life experience or our family's experience is it's not to be minimized, you know?
Right.
So
right.
So just really letting it kind of float to the top.
Right.
Oh, this is, yeah. Whether it was our own selves who had a miscarriage or abortion or a baby loss, or it was a sibling in our generation or our parents or our grandparents, this kind of thing. And you know, this might not sound very practical, but it really is our task, is to make a place in our hearts for the experience.
Right.
And what that means, you know, is making a place in our hearts for the one who didn't live, but also for the grief, for the person that we shared it with. You know, for most couples, the impact, the influence for the couple who experiences such a loss is often to turn away from each other.
Yeah.
So acknowledging this too, that, you know, we live where we live in the culture that we live in. We can make shifts in our culture. This is what it feels like part of my task is in these conversations, is to invite more compassion for men and women to have for one another.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Bring back the real humanity, is connect on a conscious level, not just through computers. And when you were talking earlier, it reminded me of, I think, 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, I was in D.C., and there was this little girl. She came over. I was over there for like a week or so, and she came over to play with her family, friends, children. And I said, oh, hi, how are you? Start talking. I think I asked her how she was, and she said, I am 7 or whatever. Whatever age she was sounding much, much mature than what she said her age was. And she said, I used to have a brother, but he died. And his mother was right there. And there was this moment where the mother and I was kind of like, okay, what do we say now? But the thing is, she said it, matter of fact, like, I had cereal for breakfast. I had Cocoa Puffs for breakfast. You know, it was just like, wow. And I remember thinking, wow, how liberating that she can actually just say that, as opposed to, you know, sometimes we tend to keep that a secret. That must be very liberating for her.
Yeah.
Ah. Got a question in the chat room. The spirit has said, what if someone's two older siblings died before his own birth? Does that make him an only child or no? Interesting. Okay. So I guess what he's asking, or she, but I'm going to presume from the question that he's saying, does that make the child that's alive, even though the two older ones died before his birth, this is maybe the only child, or not? Okay, I'll let you. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, then, I mean, in that situation, it's important to see that people die, but love never dies.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we're siblings throughout life and death. So even for the person who never meets the sibling who died before them, they're still siblings. So even if they grow up in a household where there are no other children, so there's a way that they would be probably treated as if, you know, just practically as an only child.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, in the soul, they're the youngest of three.
Mm-hmm.
And their place is in life.
Right.
Because they're alive. This is one of the, you know, sometimes a person in a circumstance like that lives with questions that never go asked but are felt all the time about, well, you know, is my place in life or is it in death? or how did I get so lucky that I got to live?
Right. You know? Yes. And it lives on the time. Go ahead.
Well, and those questions are human mind questions that have to do with, the mystery of the human experience, how this happens, that some of, we can be certain that we'll all die sometime, but we don't know why, these things happen. But recognizing, if we're alive, we are how to live fully in life, even though those two died before.
The listener in chat was saying he or she's asking for her father. I don't know why I'm saying her, but maybe I'm just, I know mainly females like this kind of conversation, but that's just the bias on my side. So everybody forgive me, you may be a female, but actually correct me, make it easy on me, spirit, to say, you male or female? Just make it easy for me, because if you know how my mind works, it would be just easy to tell me if you're male or female. As spirit has said, I'm asking for my father. And like when you say, those are human questions, it's like, on a logical basis, a kind of time, rational mind, we're trying to say, well, am I the only child? And I think there's something to say that, I am the only child now, but I had two brothers or two older siblings who died before me. But the rational mind, the time that goes with logic and the soul time are two different things, and I think it's about understanding the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the chat room, we have Cece. She said, one of my friend's little brother died at birth, and he's 13 now, and she's connects with him all the time. So there's a constant spiritual conversation, spiritual connection. And she said, her father died this year, but she connects with him more now than she did when he was alive. Wow, interesting. So she's sharing that this is a friend of hers whose brother died when she was 13, and now her father died, but she connects with him more with him. I guess they get on well. I guess they connect. How else can you connect? On a spiritual level, much more than they did when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. That's some experience. I don't know if you want to speak to that, because I can go a different place with it.
This happens. I've heard I've heard more than one person say such a thing. That happens.
For me, I know that was true because when my mom made her transition in March, I sort of had the feeling that I felt like I can connect with her a lot more. I mean, when she was alive, we connected, but there was so many stuff in the way that I couldn't get to her. And the stuff were my stories. That was my story. And now I actually find myself thinking about her, talking to her, communicating with her. More when she was alive, I didn't do that. Sometimes if I call her, then I call her. But if I don't, I'm not even thinking much about her. I don't know. I guess we. I don't know. I don't know what that's about. But we'll deal with that in another show. You know where I can go. Oh, I also asked you. Have you in the family constellation circle? Have you had people who have had that experience where there's been an abortion, a miscarriage, or their sibling died before them or after them, and how it actually changed their lives during after participating in the family constellations?
Oh, yeah, very frequently, that people, after doing the constellation work around an experience like this, that it shifts their lives. It's a common thing for people to experience greater clarity, greater freedom, greater a sense of being here, connected to life, whatever their life is. Yeah, this is a common, there's no guarantees about anything, but that's a very, it's a very common after effect.
Right, the after effect, you don't get any guarantee when you participate, but what will happen is something will shift for you. Your life will be different. I mean, I know personally that it's beyond words, because we're talking, it's a soul conversation. It's a conversation that's deeper than words, it's deeper than the logical mind. Family constellation is an experience, it's a process, it's a...
imagine, how can I put this? I'll put it together because I'm finding the words. But what I'm going to do, Lisa, I'm going to throw it back to you. I guess you probably put it in words for me. Because we have new listeners in the chat room, and we have new listeners to listen to the archive. And just for that benefit, you talked a little bit about it at the beginning. Let's just, as we wrap up the show, just talk about family constellations again. Because it's not something that people talk about a lot. It's not, a lot of people are not aware of it. And you talk about how we are about abortion. I think it's almost similar to when we talk about a soul conversation. We don't really talk about what really makes us human on a soul level, and that's usually missed. So let's talk a little bit about family constellations.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's a it's an approach to healing that usually takes place in a group format, although it can be also adapted for one-on-one work as well. And in a group setting, what happens is that people get to experience in 3D how what happened in the generations before them that has been unacknowledged is still influencing them today. So it's about helping people compassionately make a home for truth and help people acknowledge what is. And doing this really promotes a tremendous process of knowing more where people belong in their family, you know, and helps people see how much we are connected with the families that we come from, the families that we create. Yeah.
In a funny kind of way, family constellation also allows you, gives you the opportunity to see how disconnected we've allowed ourselves to be.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes.
And being in that circle where someone stands in place for you, representing a family member or friend or whatever, it is just an amazing thing that happens. Whew. We don't even have time to talk about my experience. I didn't know that only two, with one person standing in for my father, and I just felt all this emotion and tears, and not just tears, it was a deep soul cry. And I remember experiencing myself saying, oh, my God, why am I crying? It was interesting. It was like a part of me observing myself, but another part of me was just full of grief and was grateful that he, this other he of me, can let out all this grief and tears and cry because it was just so, oh, it was painful. And I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? You know, and I think as a society, on the, I know that, We know that we are disconnected on a human level. And I would say that's why Facebook is so popular as it is. Because Facebook is sort of, in a way, it's a virtual substitute for what we really want, connecting with people. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, I get people saying they want to be my friend. And, you know, and Facebook says, well, you have mutual friends. So you look at them and say, oh, okay, well, if they know CC, then they must be good people. But there's all, I mean, people would ask to be my friend on Facebook, and we have 47 mutual friends. And the joke is, out of that 47 mutual friends, I probably really know one of them, you know? But it's an interesting community, and no matter how big social networking becomes, it is still important to acknowledge the flesh, blood, and bone, the connection and touching somebody, feeling that warmth and really sharing and connecting with self. And really, I guess when we connect with self, we can become less addicted to Facebook. And that's a thought, just a thought that just picked up on me. And I'm wondering, Lisa, from what you know as a facilitator of family constellations, this is just a thought that came out of nowhere. Well, somewhere, but nowhere. If we're feeling disconnected from ourselves and our family because of maybe there's a loss, a sibling, a baby, a child, or we didn't know about it, it wasn't talked about, there's some kind of secret that was held in our family blueprint, there's a tendency to get addicted to social networks like Facebook and Twitter, isn't it? Because there's that need to feel connected or be part of somebody. What do you think about that?
Oh, my intuition says, yeah, but how could there not be a connection?
Right, yeah.
You know, I think it's an amazing time that we're living in right now, you know, what we have available to us with the technologies and the computer ability, scientific advances that are with us, you know. So we have all this right at our fingertips, and nothing can replace, you know, as you say, nothing can replace being connected to yourself, being connected with who and where you come from, being connected with other physical bodies. You know, there's a reason that, you know, with the computer world, we talk about the third office, you know, the coffee shops that are filled with people working on computers. You know, it speaks to the human need to be in connection with people, even with other people, even if everybody's in their own little world at their laptop, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, field is deep.
It is deep. I'm just grateful that something bigger than my rational mind is in control, is in charge, because the soul, the ultimate soul experience is about balance. So balance will happen one way or the other. And yes, and speaking of connection, if you want to connect with us, you want to find out more about Family Constellations, you can go to lisaiverson.com, lisaiverson.com. Iverson is Lisa, L-I-S-A, Iverson, I-V-E-R-S-E-N.com. And you can also find out information about a book, and you can get a copy. This is not a show that you can just listen to and say, oh, I understand it. Well, you can really get it, though, by just allowing the conversation to speak to your soul, literally. And then once it speaks to your soul, you will have more questions. And, yes, everything is about balance. And we want to keep you updated on the shows that are coming up. So make sure you check us out on Facebook. You can just search for Ade Anipote. Or you can just go to our homepage on Blog Talk Radio. You can be a fan of Life Conversations Radio. And remember, Lisa works with groups. She travels, and she can work with you on the phone as well as work with you one-on-one. So, lisaiverson.com. Lisa, thank you very much. It's nice for us to be back having this conversation.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week, right?
Yes, I'm grateful. Thank you so much, Ade, and everybody who's been with us. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful evening, Lisa.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ooh, Ancestral Blueprints are wrapping up. We've got a few seconds. Espiritus, thank you. 70s Soul Child. Laura, Southern Gold. And the Silent Listener, the guest, 2169. You stayed with us all the way through. Thank you for being here. Maybe you're listening on Facebook. But, yes, leave a comment on the homepage. Send us an email, info@lifeconversationsradio.com. And let's be friends on Facebook. And listen, I'm out of here. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And if you're listening to us for the first time, or you've been listening to us and you haven't favored the show, go do that right now. Be well, be good, and be loved. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.